Now I am. Coming over here, getting a little bit of rest before I start the presentation of Pastor Mike Online for a couple of hours. I am going to try to do the full 2 hours today. I've got a lot to talk about. First of all, let me deal with this. I do get criticism from people. In some cases, pretty harsh criticism. And I don't mind. I really don't. If a man doesn't have any enemies, and if a man doesn't have any criticism in his life, then he gets prideful. David, King David, was deposed from his throne by his own son, Absalom. And during his time deposed from the throne, there's a man that sees him, and the man hates him. The man hates King David. So he starts throwing out all of these curses and accusations and name-calling, and he's just hitting David with both barrels. And his sergeant-at-arms, his captain of his host, says, "David, I'll kill him. Say the word, I'll go cut his head off, I'll spear him, I'll kill him. Because I'm not going to sit here and listen to this guy run you down like that." And David said, "Don't." And I'm almost positive David's got on his mind his sin with Bathsheba. If there was a highlight of David's, there were several highlights of David's career as a captain, a soldier, a king, but there was a downfall. And that was his sin with Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, the child that died. And those of you who know sin, you carry that with you the rest of your life. You never forget it. And it humbles you. It changes you. Because you look back and you ask yourself the question, why did I do that? I hate that. I hate that I did that. I hate that I was a part of that. I hate that I believed that. You look back on that, not out of pride going, boy, those were the good old days. You don't do that. And David's probably got this sin on his mind that he did. And he knows why, because God, you know, the prophet of God told him, the sword shall never depart from your house. And this is the sword right here. And so David tells his captain, don't, just leave him alone. Who knows, maybe God sent him over here to say these things. So I'm going to read an email that came in today. The guy obviously has some criticisms of things that I said and believe. And he's going to bring my wife into it, which, number one, that's a no-no. I will read the email, and I will treat you with respect, but you don't bring my wife into this. My wife hasn't said a word to you. You don't know what my wife thinks. You don't know what my wife believes. You have no idea about my wife, because she chooses to remain silent the way she's supposed to be. She don't get in front of the camera. She don't tell me what to do, what to preach, what to say. So if you got a problem with me, I can handle it. But you leave my wife out of it. Now, this gentleman, I'll not give his name, but he's given his name and his phone number. I appreciate that, because some people like to put up a fake YouTube account or some anonymous YouTube account where you don't know who they are. And I just don't pay attention to these people. They're creeps. But I respect you because you gave your name and your phone number. He says this, "I've regularly watched your presentations and in many ways find them helpful. I appreciate that." Now, sir, I don't expect that everybody agrees with everything that I say. In fact, that would be unhealthy. If I've told anybody anything, in fact, everybody that's out there listening to me right now, What have I told people to do? Over the years that I've been doing this, I've done it consistently. What have I told everybody to do? If you don't like anything I said, you don't like something I said, you don't agree with something I said, then open your Bible up. Let God be true and every man a liar. So he said, that said, your attacks on Mike Adams, who is the health ranger, seems pathetic and downright petty. I disagree. And I'll tell you why. Mike Adams controls a large amount of websites. All of them with different headings, different sort of identities. They seem to offer, you know, vital information that people need right now to survive the tyranny that we're under. He's got a ton of websites. He has a lot of influence. He's on InfoWars a lot. So to say that my attack on him is petty, I totally disagree, because he influences a large audience. And because of that, when he says things that are wrong, I, with the Word of God, am going to correct those things that he said. He says, because he dares to step on your spiritual turf. Now, I have no idea what you mean by that. I have no idea what you mean by that. He dares to step on my spiritual turf. The only spiritual turf I've ever claimed is my belief in the King James Bible. Period. That's it. That's my whole ministry. The man merely tries to sell healthy, clean supplements to restore the health of people without the need for the medical industry and their synthetic solutions to the health consequences of their own past treatment practices and the chemically laced GMO foods we all eat. Okay. I'm going to answer this one. Does he actually sell healthy, clean supplements? Does he actually do it? Because while he boasts that all of his supplements are rigorously tested and certified, do you know who tests them and who certifies them? Mike Adams. It's on his website. I found it. You can find it. He tests and certifies his own. It's like, it would be like, say, Pfizer, a pharmaceutical company, coming out with an unknown drug, an untested drug, but doing their own test on it where nobody else is allowed to see the data, then certifying it and saying it's 100% healthy and ready to go to market. That's why we have an FDA. And there are private labs that test things. And there are lawyers who go after pharmaceutical companies for releasing things that are killing people. So if you're gonna make the claim that Mike Adams sells clean, healthy supplements, I will tell you, I don't trust him, because he's the only one who tests and certifies his own products. That is by his own claim. He says, I say this not as a health freak, far from it. I smoke several packs a day, 3 to 4, for 41 years. You're going to die very soon. Profound Diet Coke addict. I couldn't care less. Fast food daily. But I was a decade-long victim of the medical industry with a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis through 5 differing neurologists. None of those peddlers could help or fix my problems. I feel bad for you. I do. I would not want multiple sclerosis. Either the original or recurring flare-ups or the side effects of their thousands of dollar daily meds they doled out as the next best at the point of bankruptcy, near bed-bound, diaper-wearing, I said enough. I don't have a problem with that. At the point I began trying and using different natural remedies, as functionality was slowly restored to my various systems through supplementation using God's clean, unadulterated nutrients, my symptoms improved. I don't have a problem with that either. What I can't restore is all the damage done in my original strength and endurance of my limbs and eyes. My feet and legs are good enough that I now drive a standard shift four-cylinder car that sits inches off the ground. This is from a cane using near-diaper-wearing 50-year-old that had already bought a power chair to get around in, apparently very soon. The final med I was able to drop was the one for nerve pain. Now I'm totally med-free with MS, yet no flare-ups for several years, which not a year went by on their trash. All I need the medical industry for anymore is diagnosis and repair should I be injured. Healthcare, no thanks. I'll keep my prostate, which they love to mutilate men, saving them. Easily treatable protein naturally. I know several victims of that butchery. I'll die trying natural cures to whatever ails me in the future. I'm completely at ease doing that now, be it lung cancer, mouth cancer, pancreatic or prostate cancer, whatever. I have absolutely no problem with you doing that. Not one. Not one. If you want to choose a natural path, believing that that's the best way, then so be it. It is nothing to me. I have never spoken out against natural remedies. I personally don't have a lot of confidence in them. I don't. But you seem to, and that's fine. I don't have a problem. My problem with Mike Adams is his claims that he makes that people are selling their souls to Satan by receiving a vaccine. That's my problem. He is, in my opinion, a snake oil salesman who is linking salvation with whether or not you buy his products. Or let me say it more accurately, whether or not you choose Big Pharma. Now, this is where the email changes and he makes it personal. He says, Mike Adams is concerned with the new improved vaccines, primarily now mRNA, that hijack that recipient's mitochondria to make GMO humans with supposed antibody production to fight essentially a souped-up cold virus. Let me correct you. COVID is not a souped-up cold virus. It's a very potent, very deadly, very debilitating virus. I'm still not over it yet. I'm still not over the lag, the fog, the fatigue. I'm not over that. And that's been September 13th that hit our church. And it still has its effect on me and others. My father-in-law, still in the hospital. He is getting better, by the way. Praise the Lord. He's getting better. His lungs are recovering. I have a daughter whose lungs have been demolished. She can barely breathe. She had COVID, same time I did. She had asthma before that, so she had a pre-existing condition, and COVID could have killed her, and she's not out of the woods yet. If you haven't had it, don't you dare judge those of us who have had it and know what it does. He says, if we are the temple of God, as the Bible says, and God does not dwell in temples made with hands, sounds like a disqualifier to me. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Maybe not the mark of the beast just yet. But the Bible does not say that is the only reason to be certain hellbound. But the Bible does not say that is the only reason to be certain hellbound. Mike Adams may be lost. He is lost. Although neither of us know his heart, do you? I know his mouth. I know what proceeds out of the heart. And what proceeds out of his heart shows up in his articles and the claims that he makes. Let me pull up. Let me see if I have it. Let's see if I save that article. I'm reasonably sure I would have. Come on. So I can read to you what he said and why I responded the way I responded. Now, to show you what I said earlier about the fact that Mike Adams certifies his own stuff. Let me put this on the screen. This is Consumer Wellness Center Labs. Our lab was built from the ground up by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, active AOAC member, author of Food Forensics, and developer of two patent-pending dietary supplements, blah, 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 blah. Now, he claims that he is licensed by some lab testing. Oh, okay, here it is. Every product has been extensively tested by CWC Labs, an ISO-accredited analytical laboratory. He owns that lab. And according to the accrediting company that accredits testing laboratories, his license has not been approved. It's been pending, but they haven't issued it yet. So he's making claims that are not true. And he's the one who does the testing. You can trust that if you want to. I don't. Now, let's see here. What else? What else? What else? What else? Here it is. Here's the article that Mike Adams put out, and I'm going to read to you the problem I have with this article. You're now fighting not for just your life, but your soul. According to Scripture, by participating in the Mark of the Beast system, you will be selling your soul to Satan. Excuse me. If you're lost, Satan already owns it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The people of this world, the lost people of this world, follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan automatically has your soul from the time you're born. Well, I'll say maybe from the time you become aware that sin is sin. Satan already has your soul. He doesn't need to buy it. He doesn't need to gain it. He doesn't need to give you a shot in order to get your soul. He's already got it. Okay? Let's see here. Bill Gates is now openly talking about rolling this out, having biometrics or implanted devices that broadcast your coronavirus vaccine status to allow you to participate in society. Without such electronic marks on your hand or forehead, that's a guess that he's making. You will be prohibited from engaging in any societal functions, include transactions of commerce. The book of Revelation is finally here. End of days, demonic entities have taken over the bodies of former humans we once called Bill Gates or George Soros, and using the power of propaganda and finance, they are now in the final chapter of building a global death machine that will finally achieve the most desirous aims of the anti-humanist Satan worshipers, the annihilation of humanity, Christianity, liberty, and self-determination. Their goal is to claim the earth for Satan while exterminating any remnants of the memory of Jesus Christ and his message for humanity. The masses will be consumed, body, mind, soul. But he doesn't have that right. It's spirit, soul, body. Anyway, by the demonic forces that are projected through a big pharma needle, contaminating your blood with non-human RNA that alters your genetic code, making you a vessel of beckoning death, which will welcome the sweet smothering death of the next mutation that's released as the final solution against humanity. He says, if you take the coronavirus vaccine and seek the antibody papers that allow you to participate in this evil, corrupt society, you will be selling your soul to Satan for eternity, and there's no coming back from that. He's lying. He has absolutely no understanding of grace, mercy, the liberty in Christ, and God's protection of his saints. He says, if you agree to take the coronavirus vaccine, you will be sealing a contract with Satan that confirms your agreement to be marked with the blood of sacrificed children. You will become the property of Satan. This is an irreversible on a cosmic scale. People, I don't trust him. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a false prophet. He makes claims that never come true. He's been doing it for years. Now, Mike Adams may, I'm back reading the email. Mike Adams may be lost, although neither of us know his heart, or do you? Yeah, I do. I know what proceeds out of his heart because it shows up in his articles. You say, judge not that you be not judged. Well, you didn't necessarily say that, but some people do. I'm a fruit inspector. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. And he produces corrupt fruit. All of it is intended to enrich him. It makes him a lot of money. Saying things like this, scaring people to death. Now, I'm going to go on. He says, Mike Adams may be lost, although neither of us know his heart, or do you. He does trust nature, it seems. Call that God. No. No. God is not nature. God created nature. But let me say this to you. There does seem to be, and I'm not accusing you of believing this, there does seem to be amongst those who follow a holistic, naturopath ideology that everything that we need for healing is right here on this earth. Let me explain something to you. The ground that we walk on, that we grow things on, that grows our grass, that raises our crops, is cursed. It's cursed. And because of sin, you might eat a few things that make you feel healthy. The bottom line is, you are still appointed to death, and there's nothing in this earth that you can drink, eat, swallow, inject, burn, shove up your nose or your ears that will stop that. You're going to die anyway. Now, here's where he gets personal. He says, you and your wife trust who? My wife is none of your business. You keep my wife out of it. She's done nothing to you. Nothing. Medical industry for your stomach fold and electrocution rehab and most recent tussle with COVID. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? My body was afflicted. My nerves damaged. And yes, I take a medicine every now and then to try to calm down the nerve damage in my face. You often will see me sweating to death. Today, my body's freezing. My head is burning up. And I was taking a medicine that calmed that down. It worked. And it had zero side effects. Now, my insurance company decided they don't want to pay for the name brand medicine. They want me to take the cheap version of it. Probably comes from China. I've taken it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I don't take it. But why is that your business? Why do you care? I've not criticized you on the path that you've chosen. What business do you have of accusing my wife of not trusting God? I want to read this. Medical industry for your stomach fold, already read that. She for total remover and restoration from a pen tip size blip. That sounds an awful lot like total abject fear and terror. Who's more trusting of God? How dare you? How dare you accuse my wife of not trusting God? I almost lost her. Had they not found that cancer, she didn't receive chemo, she didn't get radiation. But in order to save my wife's life, they had to take her womanhood away from her. How dare you accuse us of not trusting God when we trusted God the whole time? You have no right. I still have my wife, my best friend in the whole world. You crossed a line. You crossed a line. He says, if you want to talk about my experience with the medical industry and how I see them, maybe not the frontline doctors, they're just educated tools, but the industry itself is loving money, the root of all evil. Call if you'd like. I have no interest in talking to you. Look at you and your family's messaging before you start claiming Mike Adams is lost as a goose. He is. And you keep my family out of it too. My family is off limits. You want to say something about me, say it. You don't bring my family into it. Because his attempt to warn others doesn't match the Bible. No, it doesn't. Many suffer that failing. I don't think Calvinists, pre-tribbers, preterists, Catholics, any number of other... I have no idea what that means. But I stand by what I said about Mike Adams. He is a false prophet, a prophet of doom, and he's doing what he's doing because it's making him, if not millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars for him personally. And Peter is the one who said that's why they do this thing. Let's get into the word. You show me in the Bible where I went wrong. You show me in the Bible where it's wrong to take medicines. Show it to me. I wouldn't get so worked up over this had you left my wife and her breast cancer out of it. But you crossed a line. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You attempt to destroy me, and I've never asked for a single penny from anybody. But Mike Adams has. call his company and ask him if he'll give his stuff away for free. If he's really got this solid gold, God-formed cure for everything, why is he trying to get rich off of it? Just call him and ask him if he'll give it away to you. Now, let's move on. I posted yesterday, and let me get this out of the way. I'm going to try to remember to put a link to that video. A gentleman by the name of Ezra Levant, a Canadian commentator. He seems to be right-wing conservative. And he examined the Canadian whistleblower document, which I have in my hand. And in about a 20-minute video, he absolutely shredded this claim. And I'm not going to play it. I posted links to it on Twitter and Facebook yesterday. If you ever want to see my Twitter account and you don't have Twitter, go to BethelChurchMo.com, because our website has all of the Twitter feeds. Everything that I announce, if I tell you this is going to happen, or we're going to do church like this, or I'm sick and I won't be here, that's going to show up on our church website. So if you don't have Twitter, you don't have Facebook, you can still go to our website and find out what's happening. Now, I'm going to look closely at some of the claims that this whistleblower made. Remember, this whistleblower says that they sit on several committees, including one called the Strategic Planning Committee, which is steered by the Prime Minister's office. I encourage you to go online, Google, DuckDuckGo, whatever search engine you trust, and try to find a Prime Minister's Office Steering Committee. I encourage you. I never found one, and neither did Ezra Levant. Never found one. It's not there. Doesn't exist. But here's some of the claims that they made. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick this up on the wall. And the claims were made. They gave specific dates. Phase in secondary lockdown restrictions on a rolling basis, starting with major metropolitan areas first and expanding outward, expected by November 2020. So write this down and keep it someplace where you can examine it. November 2020, according to this document, there is going to be secondary lockdown restrictions by the Prime Minister's office. Now, what Levant said yesterday in his video is that the Prime Minister never issued any lockdowns for Canada. It was done locally by Canadian politicians in the different provinces that they have, but not by the Prime Minister's office. So, number one, they're going to phase in secondary lockdown restrictions expected by November 2020. So that's a date. I'll give it by the end of December. If that doesn't happen, this is a lie. Let me show you. Number one, let me ask you a question. According to the Bible, how are we supposed to believe a claim, a testimony, a witness? How are we supposed to believe and establish a word like a word of prophecy or a word of commandment or whatever? How are we supposed to believe? According to Scripture, how are we supposed to believe it? At the mouth of two witnesses. Not one. In fact, the Bible specifically prohibits us from believing the mouth of one witness. We're not supposed to believe that. And this represents one witness. There is no corroborating evidence. There is no corroborating documents. There are no corroborating. Do you know how the Nuremberg trial, Nuremberg trial tried the top leaders of Hitler's Nazi party to accuse them of crime, you know, engaging in war, crimes against humanity, violating the treaties that they had with other nations. Robert Jackson was an associate Supreme Court justice. He stepped down from that role to lead the prosecution at Nuremberg. And do you know how he convinced the world of the atrocities of the German Nazi Party? Documentation. The Germans, as it turns out, were meticulous documentarians. They wrote down everything they did. And those who would deny the Holocaust, the fact that it happened, the Germans themselves, in their documents, wrote down exactly how many Jews they actually exterminated from their own pen. They told the tale of what happened. Then, of course, what really convinced everybody was the film that was made as the United States and Britain began occupying various parts of Germany. And what they filmed was absolutely horrible. I don't encourage you to watch it. It's terrible. But there is no second witness to this. So we have a prophecy here that they're going to have a second lockdown in November. So that's one. Number two, rush the acquisition and construction of isolation facilities across every province and territory December 2020. That's two claims and two dates. Then, daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond capacity of testing, including increases in COVID-related deaths following the same growth curves expected by the end of 2020. Three claims, three dates. Complete and total secondary lockdown, much stricter than the first and second rolling phase restrictions, expected by the end December 2020, early January 2021. Four claims, four dates. Then they have reform and expansion of unemployment program to be transitioned into universal basic income program expected by the first quarter of 2021. So January, February, March, the first 3 months of 2021, they will be implementing mandatory universal basic income in Canada. So now we have five claims with five dates attached to them. Now I'm going to read to you, I'm going to put it up on the screen, I'm going to read to you scripture. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So I'm going to use that standard. If one thing on here is wrong, I'm not going to believe any of it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick this right here. Okay? You can't see it. I might move the camera over. I'm going to put that right there. And I'll give you a look at where it is. It's sticking up on the wall. Now, when these dates roll by, I'm going to go back to that document and I'm going to pull them out and I'm going to read them and I'm going to say, well, they lied about this. Then I'll wait another month through the end of December and I'll say, okay, they lied about these three things here. And then we'll give them through January, February, March to see if they make mandatory, extremely restrictive quarantines to everybody across Canada. We'll see if they do that. And then we'll see if they enforce mandatory basic income. There's even the promise in here that the World Monetary Fund will wipe out all your debts, pay all your debts, including your mortgage, and all you have to do is sign over the deed to everything you own to the World Monetary Fund, and they'll own it, and then they'll pay you so much money a month so you can live on. That's the claim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick that right there so I'll remember it. And when these dates roll by and this stuff doesn't happen, then you'll know that what this people said was a lie. Now, what some people will say is this. Well, it could happen. However, do we ever accuse somebody of committing a crime when they haven't actually committed the crime yet? Remember the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise? Where they had these three psychics, and these psychics displayed what was going to happen. It was a pre-crime agency, and they went out and arrested people because they were going to commit a murder. You remember that movie? Same principle here. Is Justin Trudeau, I've already said this, you Canadians, I feel sorry for you for Justin Trudeau. The guy is a white Obama, he's a jerk, he's a reprobate, he's an antichrist, and he's in it to get rich like all these other sleazy politicians. And who knows? Do we believe that at some point they might start making restrictions everywhere? It is possible. But I'm just telling you, this document, I think, is a fake. And as these dates roll by, we're going to see whether or not it was right or I was right. And my whole point in all of this was to try to get you to trust in the Word of God for finding out what is going to happen rather than one witness, unidentified whistleblowers that you have no idea whether or not that person really is who they say they are and they heard what they say they heard. You really don't know that. Now, I've heard some things going on in Australia and New Zealand, other places in the world. I get it. California, politicians overreacting, slamming down tyranny. But what's happening is people are standing against it. YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, who've been censoring. They've even censored the president. They censored the New York Post. The day they released the Hunter Biden email story, Twitter locked the New York Post's Twitter account. Why? Because they are, Jack Dorsey, who runs Twitter, clearly identifies himself as a Biden supporter, and he stifled any story that makes Joe Biden look bad. So now there's a lawsuit. Some of the channels that I've listened to, X22 Report and so on, they're suing Google because YouTube broke its own terms of service. They're in a class action lawsuit, and I guarantee you, I think they're going to win. I think they have a case. People are not just taking the tyranny. They're standing up against it. Here's a story. Tens of thousands gather on National Mall to worship Jesus. Tens of thousands of believers who reportedly gathered in Washington at the National Mall to worship Jesus, where hundreds were seen running to the altar, giving their hearts to Jesus. Of course, none of this was covered by any of the mainstream media, but those that were present called it amazing, powerful, moving, as thousands worshiped and praised God unabandoned. I'm not going to give the guy's name, but this guy is the pastor and founder of an international ministry. He said a ministry that provides resources to equip believers and to inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we live. His mission is to inform his readers and viewers of prophetic events and how they're unfolding and so on and so on and so on. People are not taking this sitting down. Literally. Let's see here. Let me read this story. Michigan County shuts down Christian school amid court battle over COVID-19 orders. Libertas Christian School was shut down by Ottawa County, Michigan on October 23, 2020, after two teachers contracted COVID-19. A Michigan County shut down a Christian school Thursday night, accusing it of violating state and local health department mask mandate and other protocols. Libertas, that means liberty. Remember what we supposed to stand for in this country? Liberty, freedom. Libertas Christian School, a private non-denominational Bible-based school with over 265 students in Hudsonville, was officially closed down by the Ottawa County Health Department before classes could be held on Friday. Last Sunday, the school filed a lawsuit against state and local health department challenging the state's mask mandate. That led the OCDPH, whatever that is, Ottawa County Health Department, okay, to issue additional cease and desist orders, later culminating in the school's closure. In other words, the school filed a lawsuit, and the health department, in retaliation, shut the school down. Now, is that going to make the lawsuit sound better or worse for them? That's tyranny, people. That's tyranny. And people are standing up against it. You see, our founders, God, when God formed the nation of Israel and had them in the wilderness and gave them laws, you know what those laws were doing, were intended to do? They were intended to allow self-government. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The judges, the rulers, we're merely the elders over families. Like we have in our church, Brother Sterling. Wise man. He is slowly but surely getting better. He was walking around his room yesterday. He can hold conversations now. My daughter Lindsay visited him yesterday. For 2 hours he talked. His lungs are healing. Praise the Lord. We prayed for him. He will get out of that hospital. Okay, but we rely upon him for his wisdom and his leadership. When I need help, I call my men in and I say, guys, I need help making a decision. We're going to spend some money, or we're going to try to do this, we're going to try to do that. What say ye? And almost everybody in that room looks to Brother Sterling to see what he says. Very rarely does anybody go against him. Very rarely. That kind of leadership is what God gave the people in Israel. Local, localized, small government. And there was not really a ruler over them. You know what ruled over them? The law. The written law. They followed the written law. So now we have written laws, a constitution that guarantees us the right, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of our worship of our God as we see fit, guarantees us that. You have guys like Gavin Newsom and others, Democrats, almost always liberal Democrats, in violation of the Constitution of the United States, taking away their right that they have. The Constitution was made. The law in the Bible was made so that the people had a contract between them and those who govern them. And when those who govern them exceed the limitations of their office by going against either the law of Moses or the Constitution, then the people have a right to appeal to a higher court and say, here is the evidence. We have a right written to us, guaranteed us, in writing by God or by the founders who wrote the Constitution. We have these rights, and we feel that this man or this woman has taken them away from us in violation of these laws. We have that for us. And remember, in spite of what you think about Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or any of the governors of our country, man still needs government. God ordains government over men. Now, here's where God's people have the right to go against the government. China, use this Bible communist rewrote or else. When a Chinese Christian, Chen Yu, was caught boldly selling religious publications not authorized by the government, his punishment was a 7-year prison sentence and approximately a $30,000 fine handed down by a court last month. Such steep punishment for promoting and adhering to a religion is all too common in China. Faith is increasingly under attack by President Xi Jinping's China. As religious expression becomes more dangerous there, people around the world should be speaking up in defense of China's persecuted believers. And I agree with that 100%. In addition to Chen's fine and imprisonment, the court ordered local police in the Zhejiang province to destroy 12,864 religious books from his online store. Make no mistake, this is a regime that is deeply afraid of the growth of Christianity. Why are they afraid of it? Because it gives people liberty. And communism never wants the people to have that much freedom, if at all any freedom. Like Gavin Newsom and the other wicked dictators over the various states, almost all of them Democrats. We have a conservative Republican governor in the state of Missouri. We don't have a mask mandate in the state of Missouri anywhere. Now, St. Louis County imposed one. St. Louis City imposed one. Jefferson County has rejected two different proposals of a mask mandate. This is Jefferson County. Now, again, you might want to think about wearing a mask when you go to certain places, like Walmart. To me, Walmart's a leper colony. Okay? I mean, it's got stuff. Some of the people
who do that should be arrested.
Yeah. Some of the people that come in Walmart. Ugh. I would wear a mask if I'm around those people. Okay? But you have liberty. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Let me say this. There's no sin in wearing a mask. And I've seen lots of claims on the internet. One guy claiming that pagans wear masks. So, surgeons wear masks. People who don't want to breathe in somebody else's corruption wear masks. That doesn't make them a pagan false god worshiper. That's a stupid claim. It's like Scott Johnson telling everybody that if you smoke cigarettes, you're offering incense to Baal and you've lost your salvation. He got kicked off of sermon audio because of his nonsense. Hunter Biden. NPR claims they have ignored Hunter Biden email links because we don't want to waste readers' time. The Hunter Biden story is the story to follow right now. There is a guy in China who is releasing pictures and videos of Hunter Biden molesting Chinese girls. That was done for their protection. They took these pictures and videos and used them to say, do what we tell you to do, or the videos come out. Well, the videos and the pictures are coming out. I have no interest in seeing them. In fact, I would think that if you ended up viewing them, you would be guilty of a crime. And get this. Ashley Biden, the granddaughter of Joe Biden. Joe Biden had another son that was killed. Hunter, and apparently creepy, sleazy, naked Joe was involved with this dead son's daughter, Hunter's niece, Joe's granddaughter. Ashley Biden diary reveals child sex trauma, drug abuse, resentment for Joe. National File has exclusively released the full 112 pages of the diary. The whistleblower identified as belonging to Ashley Biden. Since Saturday night, National File has published dozens of pages from what our whistleblower has identified as the 2019 diary of Ashley Blazer Biden, the 39-year-old daughter of Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden. The diary was started while the author was in a drug rehab facility in Florida and details her romantic interests, crumbling marriage, struggling with drug and fornication addiction, and family life as her father began to run for president. With limited redactions to protect the identities of private individuals, National File can now publish the full 112-page diary of whistleblowers identified as belonging to Ashley Biden. And she talks about the inappropriate contact that Hunter Biden had with her when she was about 14 years old. And sleazy, creepy, naked Joe did nothing about it. Here's another one. Text messages show Vice President Biden and his wife colluded to suppress Hunter's actions with a certain minor. Yesterday we reported on, and the Biden campaign, you know what they've said? This is Russia. This is Russia. Russia did that. Really? Russia wrote your granddaughter's diary? Russia manufactured these emails and text messages? Russia did that? And nothing from the Biden campaign saying, we categorically deny that any of these emails, text messages, anything, pictures, none of them belong to us. They're manufactured by Russia. They haven't said that yet. And tonight on Tucker Carlson, Fox News, a former business associate of Hunter Biden is going to play audio of people from the Biden campaign begging him not to come forward with that information. I mentioned on a Pastor Mike Online, these pedophiles everywhere. And then the sleazy people everywhere. Jesus calls this generation an adulterous generation. And you know what that means? Because this generation of people in this world are so adulterous, they're going to seek signs and wonders, because that's what Jesus said. A wicked and adulterous generation always seeketh after a sign. It's a setup for the false prophet, people. Fake news stands with disgraced. I can't use this word. Jeffrey Toobin, after he exposed himself to professional colleagues. I mentioned this. But in a Zoom meeting, meaning that all the people who run this company are supposed to appear on the screen and have a meeting all at once. Because of COVID, they can't get together, right? Jeffrey Toobin was Toobin. He didn't know that the camera on his laptop was on and that he was streaming to the Zoom conference. So obviously he's sitting watching porn on his laptop. And they watched him gratify himself. There is work against it. U.S. Marshals Service in Ohio has just completed the largest anti-human trafficking operation in state history. Ohio Attorney General David Yost said more than 50 agencies were involved in the Operation Autumn Hope, which recovered 45 missing children, 109 human trafficking survivors, and resulted in 177 arrests. That's a lot of people involved in child trafficking. Get this. Democrat candidate Cal Cunningham was kicked out of his own house by his wife. North Carolina's Democrat nominee for U.S. Senate, Cal Cunningham, has moved out of his family's Raleigh home and is now living with his sister. According to photos of Cunningham taken at his sister's house obtained by National File, rumors that Cunningham was kicked out of his family home have flown since National File's Patrick Howley broke the news of his affair with the wife of a junior Army officer earlier this month, an affair that violates military rules and has sparked an official U.S. Army investigation as Cunningham serves as Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves. You know what? I bet he still gets elected. I bet he does. People, this world is getting sleazy. Very, very sleazy. Look at this. Let me show you this girl. Now, this girl is upset. Her feelings have been hurt. She has suffered massive emotional trauma. Do you want to know why? Jessica Yanov, which is the young lady that you saw, files human rights complaint against beauty pageant for not letting her compete. Yanov is a guy. He's not a woman. Yanov, who is transgender with male plumbing, was initially accepted into the contest, having not mentioned that he was transgendered with male parts on the application. Canada Galaxy Pageants, a woman's only beauty pageant based out of Toronto, Ontario, is facing human rights complaints from self-proclaimed lesbian warrior princess and tech blogger Jessica Yanov after not being accepted as a contestant in the pageant's 28 years and older division. Yanov, who is transgendered with male parts, was initially accepted in the contest. Having not mentioned that she was transgendered, this would go against the pageant's policy, who only allow biological females or those who had fully transitioned and no longer had male parts to compete in the pageant. This policy was noted in all paperwork on the website. Now, we have a string of situations all over this country and probably in Canada and Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, and other places where girls, junior high school girls, competing in things like volleyball, basketball, track and field hockey. Then, because these liberal states allow this to take place, they are forced to accept a transgendered person, a guy, with guy muscles, a guy frame, and a guy ability. I'm not going to make fun of girls when I say this, but most girls cannot throw. Have you ever seen a girl throw? Some do. I'm not saying that it's you just can't do it as a girl. Some do. Some of the best pitchers in the world are these girls' softball underhand pitchers. Some of their pitches exceed 120 miles an hour. You can't even see that coming. But most of them can't do it. A man's frame coming in to compete against females, saying he's transgendered, and he beats them every time. He's getting the medals. He's getting the honors. He's breaking the records. And the girls are going, I've trained all my life for this, and I get beat by a guy. It's not fair. That's happening. That just, it irritates me. It's wrong for that to happen. Now, let me change things a little bit. Let's get into some scripture, shall we? I'm going to put this on the screen. Come on, it always does this. There we go. I was doing a study yesterday. The Gospel of John. I love John. I wish that he was still alive so I could talk to him. Well, he is technically. I'll get to talk to him to heaven. But right now, what I have of John are the words that God gave him to write. And they are unique. They're very different than the other gospel writers. Now, I've made a point of this, that whenever you have four things in the Bible, three of them are the same, one of them's different. The four women that gave birth to the 12 tribes, one of them's separated out from the other three, and that one is Rachel. She's the one true love of Jacob. Okay? And, the three sons of Noah and Noah. Who's the different one there? Noah is. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you just keep going. You have the fourth in the fiery furnace. He's different. So John's gospel is different. And I never really paid attention. But in studying this, I made it through about 7 or 8 chapters yesterday. And in studying this, I realized that John had mentioned Moses quite a bit. Or rather, Jesus did. In the gospel of John. And what he's doing is, he's separating himself, showing that he's not a regurgitation of Moses. He's not the second coming of Moses to bring everybody back under the law. That's not what he's there for. He has a different message, a different meaning. Let me say this while I'm thinking about it. I'm working on the next Watchmen broadcast. Now, part one has already come out. It's about the false prophets. I encourage you to watch it. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on sermonaudio.com/Bethel. All the websites are up here. BethelChurchMo.com. Let's see here. I don't see the other ones. Anyway, sermonaudio.com/Bethel. Get the Bethel app from, not the Bethel Reading app, the Bethel Festus app on your iPhone, your iPad, your Samsung, Google phone, whatever it is. You can download the Bethel app, and it has all of our videos. Some of them you can just listen to. They're in MP3 format. But I encourage you to watch part one of The False Prophets because it's going to set up what I'm going to say next week. And I want you to pray for our ministry. Two things are going to happen relating to our ministry in Kenya. Number one, our dear beloved station manager, Sister Kister. I love her. I love Kister. She's such a sweet young lady and very professional at what she does. And, of course, Perkins, who also co-manages our stations, they work together. Kister is now in Turkana buying corn for our next feeding. And we're going to attempt to feed more people than we ever have before. Now, remember, we haven't done this one by one. But we feel like this is what God is telling us to do. He has provided the means for us to do it, is providing the means for us to do it. We're operating in faith. And we're going to spend the money, and we're going to try to feed more people than we ever have. Because they're starving, they're hungry. Some of them are dying, and we find them near death and try to save them in more ways than one. Now, the devil hates that. And I mentioned this Sunday. I told Michael and I told the girls that work here, get ready. We're fixing to do some really good things as a church, and the devil's not going to like it. And what the devil does is he tries to go after people in the church to get them, to get us divided against each other. Divide and conquer, okay? And he hit us with COVID. Bad, bad disease. And now it's made us skittish about shaking hands, talking to people. And that's our church. We love that fellowship time. People come in, talk to one another, smile, visit with one another, pray for one another, love one another. That's our church. The devil hit us. He's smart in what he did. He hit us in a pretty bad way. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to feed more people in Kenya. The second thing, the next Watchman broadcast, I'm going to focus on the false prophet of Kenya, Dr. David Owour, O-W-O-U-R. Now, Dr. Owour is very powerful. He has henchmen, bodyguards. He is connected himself with, I don't know if he's the president or the prime. Kenya's government's weird. They have a prime minister and a president, and I don't understand how their power works. But he's linked himself in with one of the, either the prime minister or the president of Kenya. And it makes sense because David Owour has a huge following in Kenya. Huge following. Let me show you something. Let me show you what the people of Kenya fall for. Now, let me say this. Let me say this. I love the people of Kenya. They have a beauty about them that I just absolutely love. When it's time to worship the Lord, they worship the Lord. And they put their whole selves into it. I've had great experiences preaching to the people of Kenya. But for some reason, they fall for false prophets on a mass scale. There are a lot of false prophets in Kenya, and all of them have either big followings or the followings that they have. Those false prophets have absolute total dictatorial power over those people. They command every part of their life. They tell them who they can marry, who they can't marry. They tell them when married couples can have romance together. That's how much they rule over those people. That's not the prophet or the preacher's business. Let me show you one of the pictures of Dr. Owour. This right here, Prophet of War predicts painful boils worse than coronavirus to strike soon. Now, he's made a prophecy. You see this picture here? It's a picture of Dr. O'War. He's got a gross-looking dreadlock beard. And he claims that this is the pillar of cloud showing God's presence at his meeting. Now, anybody who looks at this knows that this is photoshopped. And Dr. O'War makes claims far worse than this one. Far worse than this one. And what I'm going to do next week is Dr. O'War claims on his website that they believe that the Bible is the absolute inerrant word of God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, this is what Dr. O'War said. This is what comes out of his mouth. I'm going to do the same thing with him that I did with Mike Adams and everybody else. Because what's in their heart is manifested in what they say. And I'm going to show you where Dr. O'War made this claim or said this, and the scripture calls him out to be a liar. Dr. O'War claimed that God the Father himself appeared to him. Never happened. He would be dead if he stood in the presence of the Father God. David O'War would be dead right now. Not even Moses could stand in the presence of God. He could only see his back. Dr. O'War claims, and here I am, I'm giving you this up. Dr. O'War claims that he visited heaven and that God was holding in his right hand a bottle of olive oil. And he gave it to Dr. David O'War and commanded David O'War to anoint the seat of Jesus Christ. People, this is a lie. So next week's Watchman broadcast, I'm going to expose what he said against Scripture. Now, we had a conference with some pastors in Kenya, and several of them, when they heard some of the things I said about Dr. O'War, they were followers of Dr. O'War. They said to the other pastors, that guy's a false prophet. We're not going to follow him anymore. I love you. God bless you for that. That was awesome that you did that. I'm not telling you to follow me. Don't follow me. What I'm telling you is you have everything that you need right here in this book. Dr. O'War claims that God sent him as a prophet to speak to this world today. But read Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake to us in time past by his servants the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. Do we even need Dr. O'War? According to Scripture, we don't. We have everything that we need in the Word of God. And some of the other claims that Dr. O'War has made, totally outrageous. And it shows him to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I'm going to show you that next week. So I want you to pray for our ministry because, as I said, he's a powerful man. And he has ruffians. He has his pastors hoodwinked into believing that he's the real prophet from God. And they have in the past caused us trouble. He's tried to get our radio station shut down because I've called him out. And I'm going to call him out in a way that I have not done before next week. And I want you to pray for our ministry. Michael was nervous when I told him. He was scared because he knows those people and he knows what they're able to do. But this morning, he prayed about it. God just got all in him. He sent me a text and he said, "Go ahead and do it, Dad. Go ahead and do it. We need to expose this guy." People in Turkana and Samburu, I want you to know I love you. And when God allows me to come back to you, ask yourself the question, did I take up any offering and take any money from any of you people? When I visited the church in Samburu and various churches came, did I ask for any shillings? Was an offering taken up from me and our expenses? We had to hire a helicopter to get me over there. That was a pretty big chunk of change. I didn't ask for any money from those people. And I haven't done it in Turkana and won't. We're here to give, not take from you, ever. We're here to give. So pray for our ministry. Notice this in John chapter. I just was blessed. The Hebrew roots, the Seventh-day Adventists, are teaching a false gospel that says you must obey as much of the law as you can if you want to be saved. But does that match what the Bible actually says? No. So John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." You know what grace means, don't you? The unmerited favor of God given to you to both forgive you and to empower you to do God's will. I'm sitting here today. I 100% guarantee you that I am sitting here only by God's grace. The life that God pulled me out of, the misery, the satanic cloud that was over my life years ago. God pulled me out of that. And he didn't have to. I had everything coming to me. And yet God had mercy on me. And then he says, Notice the contrast. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John is now right away, first chapter of John, establishing he's not Moses. He's not the reincarnation of Moses, the second coming of Moses. He's not telling you, go listen to Moses, follow the Torah, because they tell you that the Torah is God's instructions for life. And yet, Paul said that the Old Testament was condemnation. That's all it was. It was the law telling us what we cannot do. And did we do it? Absolutely we did. We did it in spades. We did it. We broke God's Ten Commandments. We violated them multiple times. And we were condemned to everlasting punishment in the lake of fire until Jesus came to give us grace and truth. And there is a clear and concise difference between the law and the grace that God has. The law does have a place. You know what the law does? It forces us to appear before the judge. That's what the law does. And when we're before the judge, we have an opportunity to appeal for mercy. And when we do, God's only begotten Son steps in and says, Father, because of their belief and trust in me and the cross, my blood has blotted out their transgressions. And my Father, I plead with you as their advocate to wipe away all their sins and cause them to be covered with my righteousness. And God does it. Hallelujah. Now, let's move on. John chapter 2. Now notice that this is the first miracle Jesus ever did, recorded for us only in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not have this story. And the third day, think of a time prophecy. Third day, what does that mean? A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And the second witness is in the book of Psalms, 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday. So a day equals 1,000 years, and 1,000 years equals one day. God cursed Adam by telling him, the day ye eat that fruit, ye shall surely die. But when he ate that fruit, he didn't die before that evening. But he did die before he reached his 1,000th birthday. He died 930 years. Methuselah, 969 years. Nobody lived to be 1,000. They all died in that day, the way God defined it. So this third day, there is a marriage. Look at that! Paul said, he was talking about the husband and wife. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. So on the third day, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a marriage on the third day. 2,000 years expire, and at the beginning of the third day, there's a marriage. And then he says, and the mother of Jesus was there. It's really interesting that when Jesus makes his ministerial appearance at age 30, you see no mention of Joseph. It's more than likely that Joseph has passed away by this time. Because we know then at the cross that Jesus gave custody of his mother, care of his mother, over to John. And John was given the responsibility of caring for Jesus' mother. He truly was the disciple that Jesus loved. But anyway, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, what does that mean? The mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, woo. Did Jesus ever call Mary mother? Uh-uh. He always called her woman. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And see, Mary had great respect for Jesus. She honored him. Wasn't the other way around. And there were set 6 water pots of stone. Now, why 6? Why 6? 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And what does the number 6 mean? What happened in Genesis 6? The sons of God mated with the daughters of men and created this hybrid of half God, half human, which was a corruption of what God planned with Jesus. But Jesus was not half God, half human. He was fully God and fully man. So the 6 water pots are there representing God's concept of who Jesus is. He is fully man and he is fully God. And this wine that he's going to give them, where does it come from? It comes from Jesus himself, who is God in the flesh. That's what I see in the 6 water pots. The 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. In this sense, this represents the law. And how then? So we have the law, but Jesus represents grace. How then are we going to purify the Jews? We're going to give them new wine. Woo! Amen! And new wine is the Holy Spirit. So, they contain 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Big, big jugs. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. What does water represent? The water of his word. Okay. Jesus' voice was the voice of many waters. Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, he texted him. Okay, they're just text messages. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou, listen to this, thou hast kept the good wine until now. The good wine is the New Testament. Follow the order. Did God give us the grace of the New Testament first? No. He clearly tells us in the epistles of Paul that God gave the Old Testament first. He gave the law. He put down the condemnation of man first. The Old Testament represents our first birth. Born under the bondage of the law. Because we can't commit adultery, we can't lie, we can't steal, we can't covet. We have to honor our father and mother. We can't have any gods before God. And yet, we did. And God set that first. The bad wine, the old wine. Where do you put old wine? Old bottles. Where do you put new wine? New bottles. It represents salvation. And notice God's whole plan. God always does things first and then twice. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. God speaketh once, that's the Old Testament. God speaketh twice, that's the New Testament. Jesus' first coming, he came to fulfill the law. End the law by his sacrificial death, fulfilling the law, so that now we can be placed in a better covenant. See, God saved the good wine until now that Jesus has come. He didn't give it in the Old Testament with Moses, Jim Staley, and all of the Seventh-day Adventists and all the Hebrew roots. These people are lying through their teeth. They want you to believe that living the law or the Torah is the good way. The problem is, not even Jim Staley could do it because he spent 5 years in prison for lying to old people and stealing their money. That's what he did. All of the defendants against him were elderly people. He brought in salesmen and trained them himself. And he said, you know what he did? He sold the rights to an old guy's life insurance policy. The policy was going to be like $2 or $3 million when the guy died. So he went out selling to people pieces of the action when the old guy died. When the old guy died, they would pay the $2 or $3 million, the insurance company would, to the people who've been paying the premium. And Staley was selling these old people a piece of paying the premium in the idea that when the guy died, they would get a part of his insurance policy. That's just wicked. The hope is this guy dies soon so we can get our money. And Staley sent agents out to target these old people to tell them to take their life savings out. Some old people emptied their bank account and gave that money to Staley. He lied, stole from old people, made them victims. You know how much they got back? Nothing. Some of them losing $100,000 or more. That's wicked. People, that's wicked. But see, that's the law. That's the law that we break. But God didn't give that last. He gave that first. But what he gave second was better. There is this heaven and this earth, and God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Which is going to be better, this one or the next one? The next one is. We have two births. Which one's going to be better, the first birth or the second birth? Second birth is better. Do you see God's plan? So now watch this. Watch this. God's plan is always that what he does first is good, but what he does last is better. That's God's modus operandi, his method of operation. That's how God is. Everything that God does is good, but when God takes that away and puts something in its place, it's far better. Amen? Somebody say amen. So now watch this. The religious experts, the scholars, the denominational leaders all have in their doctrinal statement, we believe that the Word of God in the original manuscripts is the inerrant, infallible Word of God and has no error in the original manuscripts. But they're saying then that because those originals were perfect, copies of copies of copies of those originals started having corruption creep in, and right now we don't have the original Word of God. We don't have it. So that is a violation of God's ways. When God does something the first time, it's great. When God does something the second time, it's better. So they see God giving us or laying out the original manuscripts. That's what God did at first. But they say those originals, which don't exist anymore, fell into corruption, and all we have is pieces of the Bible that are corrupt. God let it decay into corruption. Is that God's way? No. I'll tell you whose way it is. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's Satan's plan. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. So here's a dog. He's eating Alpo, that great dog food Alpo, and he's eating that, and it's really good. He's just lapping it up. An hour later, he pukes. And he goes and laps up his own puke. Dogs do that. Ugh. That's the devil's way. So according to the scholars, the word of God was perfect that when God gave it out the first time, but it's all fallen into corruption and it's not as good as it used to be. But is that the way of God? No. The way of God is what he does first is good. What he does second is better. Let me illustrate it the way Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Are we enjoying the word of God today? Amen, I am. Now watch this. Paul said, for we know in part and prophesy in part. Now at that time, the apostles were still alive and they were writing the things that the Holy Ghost gave them to write. Paul had a piece of it. Peter had a piece of it. James had a piece of it. John had a piece of it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had their own pieces of it. Luke writing the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. But notice that none of them have the full and complete New Testament. They have it in part. And there were at that time men who, because they did not have the written word of God, at that time men were prophesying as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So that's what Paul said. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But none of these men individually had the full story. So what happened? God took Matthew's writing, Mark, Luke's gospel and the book of Acts. He took John and the epistles of John and Revelation. He took Jude, he took James, he took Peter, and he took Paul. And he brought all of their writings together. So now they no longer know it in part, and they can no longer prophesy in part, or they don't have to prophesy in part, because now, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So now that we have this, do we have the full and complete picture of everything that God declares to mankind? Yes. So what do we need a prophet for now? Why do we need a third word of the Lord? We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. But Dr. Awar represents a third word of God. A new witness. And a new gospel. And it's different than this gospel. Dr. Awar goes around preaching absolute righteousness. But what he's preaching is a form of self-righteousness. He demands that no one commits adultery, that no one has any immorality in their life, that no one lies about another. But what he's demanding of those people is a works-based salvation that says, unless they do what he tells them to do, they're not. And I have his words coming out of his mouth saying that you can't be saved unless Dr. O'War says you're saved. I have those words coming out of his mouth in a YouTube clip. So in Paul's days, they did know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part is done away with. So do we need prophets anymore? No, we've got 66 of them right here. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Right? We have all the prophets that we need right here in the scriptures. We don't need somebody else saying, oh, I've got new thing. I got new stuff from God. We don't need it. We already have that which is perfect. So think about it. Were the original manuscripts perfect when they were written? Yes. But is not this at least as good because it's written in English? Translated by the moving of the Holy Spirit. That which is perfect has come. It does away with those things that are in part. We don't need it anymore. We don't need people speaking in tongues anymore. We have the Bible translated for us. We don't need prophets anymore. We have all the prophets in the world, plus we have God's own Son speaking to us through his word. Anyway, back to this. So the miracle that Jesus did showed that he is truly of God, because they gave the good wine, but then they gave better wine to them. Sweet wine. From the press, from the cluster. I do not believe that the wine that Jesus gave that party was leavened. I do not believe it. Remember, the word wine in the Bible applies to both leavened wine, alcoholic wine, corrupt wine, and wine from the cluster, from the wine press. Okay? I already explained that. Look at this, Joel chapter 3, verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down with new wine. I need a pen. There we go. With new wine. And the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Siddim. Amos 9:13, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth the seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine. That's because the leaven hasn't eaten the sugar out of it. And all the hills shall melt. You know what I believe? Multiple places in the Old Testament where God declares that he's going to crush all the mountains and make them all flat and raise up all the valleys, and the land is going to be flat. The earth is going to be flat one of these days. Somebody say amen. Matthew 9:17. Neither do men put new wine, which is sweet wine, into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. You know, one of these days God's going to make this a new bottle. Maybe he already has in a way. But new wine is from the cluster. Because it's new. It's not been sitting around letting yeast eat up all the sugar out of it and release and blowing out alcohol. Now, John chapter 3. Oh, there's a lot in John chapter 3. You know, when Jesus said, you must be born again, that in itself speaks against the law. The law declares the things that we should and should not do in our life after our birth. But we do them. We break God's law. So in order to have access to the kingdom of God, we cannot in this flesh and blood inherit that kingdom. We must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand it. And Jesus explained it to him. John explains it way better. And I'm not saying John's better than Jesus, but John nails it in his first epistle by saying that which is born of God sinneth not, which is that inner man, that new man, that new bottle that has the new wine in it. That man in me never sins. Amen, amen, amen. John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. Moses. Was Moses capable of being wrong? Of course. Especially when God told Moses the second time to speak to the rock and water would come forth. But Moses was angry and he took his rod and he smote the rock. And for that reason, Moses can see the promised land, but he can't enter it. And the lesson in that is the law. Moses was the lawgiver. And Moses' law can show you the promised land, but it cannot get you there. People, please. Jim Staley is talking about reviving his ministry. If and when he does, I'll be following him. I will be on his tail. And when he starts speaking his false doctrine of Hebrew roots, that we must follow Torah as much as we can, I am going to show you from the Word of God that he is lying through his teeth. And I won't back down. So, he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Notice that's in verse 33. The number 33 is the number for wisdom. Or foolishness, the opposite. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. You know, when you believe that this book is right in everything it says, the Holy Ghost seals you. You know what that means? It means that God then has secured what he's going to do. He has protected you. When you seal something, you preserve it, right? Like Tupperware, or when you can things, you listen for all those lids to get sucked down, right? And if they don't pop back up, then you know you got a good seal, and what's in that jar is going to be preserved. That's what the seal is all about. Ephesians chapter 1 says that God, the Holy Ghost, seals us unto the day of redemption. So God then seals us, and he is going to carry us through everything, and we're going to remain saved. We will endure until the end, having been found faithful. See, that's what, when you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, Jesus has all seven of the seven spirits of God in their fullness. The Father loveth the Son and hath given, look, there's that phrase again, all things. I love that. Do that study 220 times in the King James Bible. That's the number for Revelation, the number 22. Into his hand. You know what that is? It's Revelation 5. Here's the book sealed, and God gives it into the hand of Jesus Christ. All things now are given into his hand. And I believe at that moment, Jesus now has the day and the hour in that sealed book. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's because of the law. 1 Corinthians 15, look at this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. That's us, people. We are corrupt, dishonored, and weak. All three. Because of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Notice the three. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, so which is better, the first Adam or the last Adam? Which one? Which one's better than the other? The last Adam. Because the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, which means that Jesus has the power to bring us from death under the law to life under grace. Lazarus. Jesus wept. My friend is dead. Knowing that he's going to raise him from the dead. We have a compassionate Savior who weeps with us at every funeral. Because he knows what it's like to lose a friend. I miss Brother Wayne. I miss him. And we'll miss him for a long time. He was my buddy. He would get so excited. When he would come in my office, he'd come a little early before church on Wednesday night. He would come in my office and say, Mike, what's new? What have you been studying? He always wanted to know those neat, awesome things that I could find in the Bible. And I don't have him to share that. He's going to come alive again. Howbeit, that which is not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. See, isn't that exactly what I've been saying? The law first, then grace. The first birth, then the second birth. Which one's better? The Old Testament, the New Testament. Which one's better? The first man is of the earth, earthy. Well, that's exactly what he said here. When he's talking about he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. He's talking about himself, Jesus. Jesus is better than all the people who spoke because he's the Lord from heaven. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. I probably have gone through my timer here. Let me turn that off. And as if we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, there's so much more here I wanted to share with you. Let me do this. I'm looking for a passage of scripture that I had. A question was asked me about a man by the name of Ron Wyatt, a Seventh-day Adventist, who claimed that he discovered the Ark of the Covenant. You may have heard this. Now, Ron Wyatt claimed that he found the real Mount Sinai. It's Jabal el-Lawz, and it's in Arabia, exactly the way Paul said. That I believe. I believe Ron Wyatt's claims about Jabal el-Lawz being the real Mount Sinai. I believe that part. Ron Wyatt also claims that the boat shape there near Mount Ararat is, in fact, the Ark of Noah. Now, that contradicts other sightings that people have had higher up on top of Mount Ararat, where in days gone by, people have actually entered into Noah's Ark. So it contradicts that. So I don't know which one is the real Noah's Ark. I don't know that. Ron Wyatt claims now that he tunneled into a place at Gordon's Calvary, is what it's called. And he claims that the Ark of the Covenant was placed in a chamber where, when Christ died and his blood spilled out, that the earth opened up and that blood then trickled down through a crack into that chamber and sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I used to believe that. And I had a PowerPoint made up of showing how, you know, that all worked. I called, after Ron Wyatt's death, I called Ron Wyatt's ministry partner. I can't remember his name, but he's also a Seventh-day Adventist. And I asked him specifically about that claim. And what he spoke to me was wise. He said, Ron Wyatt claims that he tunneled into a chamber and saw the Ark of the Covenant. But he said, Ron Wyatt is the only witness. It's only one witness. And we're not to believe or establish any doctrines on one witness. Now, had he brought it out for the world to see, maybe. But his claim is that Christ spilled his blood through the crack onto the earthly Ark of the Covenant to fulfill the law. Now, Hebrews 9:24, I believe, contradicts that. For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands. Christ's purpose of dying on the cross was not to enter into any earthly tabernacle, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, the high priest would go into the most holy place and he would sprinkle the blood 7 times on the Ark of the Covenant. That would atone for the sins of Israel for 1 year. Then he had to go back and do it again a year later. Then he had to do it again a year later, and so on and so on and so on. But Christ did not enter into an earthly tabernacle. He went into heaven itself. And he's still there in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, I believe that the real Ark of the Covenant, God sitting on it right now in heaven, and that Christ did not offer his blood in an earthly tabernacle. He did it in heaven itself. So, I don't talk about Ron Wyatt's claims about the Ark of the Covenant being under Gordon's Calvary and Christ shed his blood on it. I don't talk about the claims where Ron Wright said, I got a sample of the blood, and we tested it, and he didn't have a father, and all of this stuff. I couldn't care less. Because I know that Christ offered himself and his blood in heaven, not in a holy place made with hands. And that's Ron Wyatt's claim, that they put the Ark of the Covenant, the table, the menorah, into this chamber, and that Christ used that as a tabernacle to shed his blood in. It doesn't match Scripture. So therefore, I can't believe it. Oh boy, it's time to depart. I love you. It is good to be back in our top secret broadcasting bunker. I do plan on being here Thursday, the Lord willing. God allowing me to be healthy enough to do this. I'm slowly getting back to normal. And I so appreciate your prayers. The prayers, the cards, the letters, emails, text messages, the offerings that many of you have made. You are the reason why I do what I do. You guys mean the world. I know I get critical of some things, but I just want you to do one thing. Think Bible. Is that so much to ask?